There we go.
Okay, good. All right, so then I figured we would start by just talking about abstracts really quickly. I heard back from Lee and from Tara that their information on the abstract was okay. Jackie, did you get a chance to look at it?
The actual abstract I was fine with. That's why I didn't respond.
Okay. If you do get a minute today, maybe you could log on and just double-check that I got, you know, your name and your institution and phone number and everything like that, right? I think for everyone, I just Googled phone numbers. And do you want me to go through and change the author order? Like I said, I just entered myself in first because I knew all my information without having to look it up. And I've done systems before where after you enter in all the authors, you can kind of toggle the order, and it doesn't look like you can do that easily at for JSM. It looks like you would have to kind of like delete everyone and then just enter everyone back in. It would only take a few minutes. So I would do it if you want me to do alphabetical. That's up to you guys.
Fine the way it is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. It's just a JSM presentation. If it were a paper, I would certainly think it was a bigger deal, but hopefully I think it should be fine like this. And then, Lee, I saw that you had submitted the same thing to ESCOT, so it looks like we're all set with our abstracts.
Yeah, that one I can't. It just goes on my registration, so I can't give you guys, like, web access, but I sent you the PDF. There was no way to, like, link it, so I just put everybody's name at the bottom. I'm assuming that's okay. If there is some way to do it, I'm sure Jackie will tell me, and I will make sure it gets linked to you guys. So,
sounds good.
Yeah, we're good to go.
So that takes care of the abstracts. The next thing that I was hoping we could talk about were the research questions. I have to start, or we have our midterm exam coming up soon. So I need to make sure that the questions are all set.
Okay.
And I had sent an email about this a little bit earlier, Jackie. I did get your response, and it seemed like you liked the idea of possibly toggling sample size and or kind of effect size, so to speak, in those.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the next thing would be to figure out who's going to do what, unless anyone has any other objections or thoughts.
Not at all. I'm just trying to pull up the questions.
Right. Me too.
There we go. Okay.
The right one. Sorry. Okay.
We were looking at the luggage question?
Yes. So that was going to be the one we were going to each do on our first midterm. So I saw Jackie, yours is this Friday, actually, and then mine is next week.
If I don't get on this one, I can get on the next one because I'm teaching a shorter class, so I have 3 midterms and a final.
Oh, there we go.
Wow, that's a lot.
Well, it's only a 50-minute class, so... Only so much you can ask on one little test.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we trying to figure out?
Well, basically what I said in the email, when I was looking at the luggage question and going through and kind of imagining possible student responses, I was thinking, you know, we're setting this up as a sampling situation, and even in the cases where it's good sampling, where we would hope that they would say, yeah, the conclusions are valid because it was a random sample, blah, 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 I was afraid that they were going to be distracted by features of the problems that we weren't necessarily interested in. So some of them might say it's not a valid sample because 50 people is not enough to represent all airline travelers. And I think we'll get some of that even if we do 500 or 1,000 or something bigger, but I'm hoping it would be less of a response so that we could focus more on the other parts of the problem we're interested in. And similarly with the effect size. I'm wondering if students would say, well, this isn't a valid conclusion because 45 really isn't that different from 40. Which in some cases, those answers could still be informative to us, but I would like to see if they come up even if we have bigger effect sizes. Like if we make it 50 pounds, are students still going to say, well, 10 pounds isn't that big a difference? If we make it, you know, or if we make it a sample of 1,000 or 500 or whatever we pick, basically I want to increase the variety in answers we're going to see, hopefully.
Yeah, because we want them to focus on the sampling technique, not on the effect size.
Right. And I could imagine some students, and to some extent this actually is considering context, so maybe this wouldn't be as big a deal, but I could imagine some students saying, you know what, 40 isn't that different, or 45 isn't that different from 40, especially when you're factoring in how big a plane is to begin with. Students might argue that way. Which to some extent would be using context, so that would address our research question, but it's also kind of confusing the context and the effect size. And I'm trying to see if we change that, so some of us do different values, then we might see that kind of teased out more.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, my thought on this, I tried to do a research question on a final exam where I was trying to get them to think about sampling distribution, and we included a line in the question to get them, and we said describe the shape, center, and spread. And so instead of thinking about what the shape, center, and spread would look like for this particular distribution, all of the answers told me how you would check shape, center, and spread on just any distribution in general. And so I wondered if I had written the question a little bit differently, would I have gotten different answers? So basically what I'm trying to do is rather than us at the end, once we get our data back looking at it going, shoot, I didn't realize students would look at it that way, I'm trying to anticipate problems in advance. And that way we can each do, you know, since there are so many of us, this is the advantage, is that some of us could change the wording a little bit if we think that could be a problem and hopefully cut it off at the pass. So that's what got me thinking about this. And those were the two things I thought could be problematic, were the sample size in general, students saying it's too small, and then the effect size, students saying, you know, a difference of 5 pounds really isn't that big. So does anyone have any comments or thoughts on that?
Well, do you think we want to mix it up within each school, or do you think you want to have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like one of us do one version, another person do a different version. We want to just kind of mix it up.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Sorry, remind me how many classrooms each of you has?
I have
two. We have two?
I have two. I have 30 students in each.
I have 10 sections with about, the enrollment's about 700, but not all of them consented for me to use their data, so I think I have, 300 or so that I could use across 10 sections.
And I've got two classes of, one class has got 22 and one class has got 25. I think there's only a couple students that opted out.
I guess I probably had somewhere around 60 students across the two classes. And I guess for me, when I read them, you can kind of see I was kind of on the same lines of you, as I don't want the sample size to be their reasoning. I don't want, oh, that's only a 1 pound difference to be their reasoning. Because then we're not possibly getting at what we want them to.
So do you think it would be better? So then should we sorry, I totally lost my train of thought there. So then should I do a question one way with, say, a larger sample size or a smaller sample size, and then everybody else could do the question the other way. So we would still have the four versions of the question, and then basically we'd be adding another dimension, not that we're really explicitly interested in the effects of sample size, but it might mitigate any problem where students are really, really distracted by that. Or should we just do bigger sample sizes across the board?
Well, this is Holly Lynn. I mean, I absolutely do see your point that if sample size is not what you're trying to assess, if it's the method of sampling, then you don't want to confound it. So Herla, I'm looking at the email where you had sent the different options.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make option 3 and option 4, I mean, would it change it very much if a if you did the first 50 passengers coming off flights from maybe, and actually, I mean, so if you look at the way that those first sentences are worded, it's the first 50 passengers coming off of a flight.
Right. I was just noticing that. So that one we would have to think a little bit more about.
So if you wanted to have a bigger sample size, I mean, is one way of thinking about that, the first 50 passengers of all flights coming on a particular day from Orlando. So all flights that land from Orlando.
Right.
I mean, is the intent... I mean, conducting... sample size is one of the factors in conducting a good sample.
Yeah.
So, even though that's not a main part of your research questions, it is a factor that you want them to be considering.
Right.
So, in that sense, it's not a bad thing to have it in there.
Right. I guess what I wanted to do was try and limit the problem where the fallacy people have where they think that population size matters as opposed to sample size mattering, where they think you have to have a certain proportion of the population sampled before your sample gives you any information
mm-hmm.
about that population. So I didn't want them to say 50 people is too small to represent the population of, you know, airline travelers. We could still get some of that even if we were to blow the sample size up to 1,000, which I think we would all agree is, you know, fabulously large, but some students still may have that, but I'm hoping it would be less tempting for students to give us the kind of proportional argument, saying, well, we didn't have a big enough proportion of the population in our sample.
No, I know a lot of my students are just, you know, could, especially early on, are just going to look at that 50 and say, well, that's just not nearly big enough.
Right.
And just not look at the rest of it. I can see your point.
I mean, probably when I wrote this question, I was thinking of the CLT 30 as being large, the magic cutoff rule for making data normal. So that's probably why I was thinking, oh, 50 is big enough. And then I was looking at it afterwards going, no, it's not. I really see this being a problem for students. And it like I said, it does give us some information. It is an aspect of sampling, like Holly Lynn was saying, but it's not the aspect we're most interested in, and I'm afraid that we'll really be getting more of that proportional argument as opposed to something that's a valid sampling question, like just kind of more of a margin of error type argument, you know? So I think on the cases where we have quote-unquote good sampling, I think it would be fairly easy to say bump the number up to like 500 people. That was Jackie's suggestion, because that the setup there was that we were sampling people through airport security, so it makes sense that, you know, you would get, I think, 500, and it's across 10 airports across the country, so I think it would be very easy to get 500 or even 1,000 people in that case. It would be harder with the bad sampling ones, because we really did try and do the bias, and you're picking a particular airport and a particular flight, and obviously you wouldn't have 1,000 people coming off of a single plane. I don't even know if you would say you'd have 1,000 people going through JFK on domestic flights.
I mean, we could possibly make that one, you know, like 50 passengers coming off of 10 flights from Orlando, Florida in the summer. I mean, like, even make it more broad, make it seem like we're taking the collection over a longer period of time, but it's still biased. I don't know.
That could work. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, so, like, are you saying doing it for, like, the month of January or something like that?
Yeah.
The other thing that I was wondering is if you wanted, if it would make it more or less obvious to have the flights going in the opposite direction from Orlando from New York to Orlando.
I guess I was thinking of it in terms of souvenirs. As in
I was thinking about a weight of clothing.
Weight of clothing, yeah. probably students could read several things into that. I guess I'm okay with switching it, because you could think of a reason why.
Right. Well, so, yeah, I mean, actually the souvenirs didn't even cross my mind.
Well, that's why I think that the emphasis of it being a popular travel destination being on there is for.
Maybe I could even say that, like, a popular tourist, because then they might start thinking souvenirs, a popular tourist destination. Or a popular tourist spot, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think we should shoot for a sample size of 500 or 1,000?
Why not 427?
Making it up.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking it'd be 1,000 then, since that's the... I'm totally thinking of proportional logic here. So, you know, your margin of error of plus or minus 2% if you have, what is it, 1,003 people that Gallup always does.
yeah.
That's where the 1,000 was coming from. But, again, that's the way a statistician would look at it is, oh, well, that would be, you know, a large enough sample size. I don't know how much students will read into this.
Even if they're not thinking like a statistician, I think most of them will think that 1,000 is
big.
Yeah, most of them are going to think that's pretty big.
I was going to say, go back and look at the other questions too, because I was kind of skimming through the other ones in terms of proportional sample size, at least for the. Like, we've got 100 farms on the food irrigation question and a good sampling size. We may want to go back and kind of address this question for the other ones as well, that we're consistent over. We don't have the same issue that Herlo's bringing up come up in the other questions that we put on tests and ask in the interviews. It's like the tuition question is, no, the tuition question, that's colleges, so you probably wouldn't have 1,000 colleges, but maybe, you know, we only have 50 colleges in those questions. The marijuana question has 1,000 adults, so that's probably okay. MACPC is, these are non-reliable, well, these are the bad samples, but 15,000 respondents to an online poll. I think that's a big enough sample size.
Yeah, hopefully they'll think that's big.
Yeah. And then the other one was 1,200 incoming freshmen, which is actually based on a real survey. So maybe just take a quick second look at the college question if we want to make that any bigger. I don't know if we do or not. And the irrigation question is based on 100 farms. Oh, and the texting question. One is based on 17 participants.
Those were, I know the texting ones, and I think the irrigation was too, actually based on real studies. So I don't know if we want to tweak those, but the ones where we kind of had the control, maybe we want to think about the sample size more.
I just bring it up because if we're a little concerned about students just kind of honing in on the sample size and ignoring everything else, it just might be something we want to look at. I mean, yeah, I understand that if they're based on real studies, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. But how many times when we write questions do we take something that's sort of out there but then we change it to our fitting?
That is true.
Yeah. I like that we're basing it on, you know, correct things, but I don't think it's a bad thing if we have to change the numbers.
I don't know with the texting one because it was actually an experiment. So where they had the simulator versus one where they weren't texting, the sample size might not be as important on that one. We have Article 2, good sampling. But again, it's only 17 participants, and a lot of students might just hone in on that 17.
Yeah, especially because that's not our magic 30, you know, I mean.
Yeah. All right, not trying to be difficult. I just figured I'd point that out.
Well, maybe just for a possible idea, I don't know what else we have to do today. So I think we really want to make sure we get the luggage one probably adjusted and possibly the tuition ones. I think those are the ones we're supposed to all talk about doing first on our test. Make sure we get those happy, then maybe take time to think about the other ones, how we want to change them, especially if like for interview purposes, do we want to actually maybe leave the small sample since we can actually, you know, talk to them and ask the follow-up questions?
That's a good point.
That is a good point. Iridation and texting and medical marijuana had all been picked as interview questions. The Mac PC, it sounds like it's the sample size isn't an issue there, so that would mean, yeah, luggage and tuitions would be the one we would have to think about with sample size issues, really.
I think to make the luggage ones 1,000, I think there should be no logical reason we can think of as to why that would not be a big enough sample. No, a couple of students probably still might be like, but think of how many people actually fly and, you know, da-da. But
yeah.
I don't think that's going to be, you know, few and far between, hopefully.
I agree. And I'm fine with that. Even if I think it is an informative answer if it comes up somewhat, what I didn't want it to be was we were getting all of a sudden a huge chunk of these answers kind of really limiting what we could learn from the question. Because like I said, I tried this one time and there was a small issue in question wording that I wasn't thinking about. And when I got the data back, it was all essentially useless because of an issue that I wasn't thinking would be an issue at first. So I'm just trying to avoid that. Like some answers about sample size would actually be, I think would be fine. And they would be informative because it is an issue. It's an aspect of sampling. And it does give us some clue, are they thinking about it in terms of context or are they thinking about it, you know, how are they thinking about it? But I didn't want it to be the majority of answers. We're really keying in on the fact that this was kind of a small sample, especially since I don't think any of us have taught them the magic N greater than 30 rule.
Not yet. It's about things.
So I think I can tackle a few tweaks to the sample size on the luggage. I'm sorry. Yes, the luggage problem. Another question I had was actually about the good sampling scenarios for those, whether or not we actually thought they were good enough, or whether a student could legitimately take issue with them. And here I was thinking about realistically if you were to sit down and try this study, I'm not sure it would work. I think we could specify a little more about airport security. We say we randomly select 10 airports from across the country. And then select people through airport security. And I was thinking about it where, you know, even at a single airport, they have multiple security lines. Usually the security lines depend on the airline you are flying. Certainly there's a difference domestic versus international. So all of a sudden there were all these issues that came up that really were contextual. So students could legitimately pick on the sampling when we wanted that to be the good problem. I had suggested at least, you know, restricting it to a particular airline, and then we would have to restrict the conclusions accordingly as a hopefully a simple fix. What do you guys think of that?
I already agreed with that, so that's why I'm not saying anything.
So, Lee and Tara, that puts the ball in your court.
Yeah, no, you make very, very good points on all of that. So,
I never fly, so anything you change is fine. I don't even know. I haven't been in an airport in probably 10 years, so.
Oh, I've spent lots of time in airports recently. Maybe that's why I'm reassessing all of this.
Yeah, I was just thinking if there was, like, someone we could, like, you know, say something about flagging tickets or something, but, yeah. Nah.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. I thought about, you know, oh, well, maybe it would make more sense. Like, they actually weigh your luggage now, but then I was realizing that's checked luggage they weigh, not carry-on luggage.
Well, yeah. And I will tell you that I did think about that I've never seen weight restrictions on
carry-on luggage?
There's size restrictions, and there technically is, I Googled this, there technically is a weight restriction as well on a carry-on. It is 40 pounds. And I forget what airline I looked at for that, because that would be a good airline to pick. My guess is, I think several of them had similar guidelines, because I think I just Googled it and it came up on like about.com or something like that. So I can Google it again and pick a particular airline and see.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we could do is we could turn this, instead of into a weight problem, we could turn it into a number problem. I don't know if that's changing it too much at this point, since we're kind of, well, I know for me, I have to get it on this first exam on the 10th. But it does always seem like, you know, people have their rolling suitcase and then their purse and then a bag from either one of the airport shops or like a local souvenir stand or something. It just seems like people have a lot that they're bringing with them.
Well, don't we then kind of have a match-up issue with the initial survey? If we do change its number.
Yeah, you're right, we do.
American Airlines is 40 pounds. You can just use them.
That works because I believe they charge also.
Delta is 40 pounds. Those are the only
ones. We're taking this as sort of our, I think this is one of our neutral questions, right?
Yeah.
So if we change it, I have a feeling if we had changed it to number of carry-on items, it might have actually become less neutral.
Yeah.
So I think we got to stick with the weight.
Well, how about this, just to make the scenario seem a little bit more realistic? We can still pick a random selection of airports across the country and then kind of a systematic through security, but I'll specify that it was security for American Airlines, or maybe I don't even have to specify American. Maybe I could just say for a particular airline and then change the conclusion to say that there was no problem with excess weight on flights for that airline.
Well, we should probably choose ones that actually have weight requirements because not all of them do.
Okay.
U.S. Air does. Southwest does not.
So I was just thinking, if we don't have the name, there might be less likely to notice that we're talking about a specific one.
Okay.
Versus if we use the name and they see the word American Airlines in there, like, oh, we're just saying that about American Airlines versus a particular, I think they'd breeze over that easier.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone else has an opinion about that, but I do sometimes. Like, you know, you see something capital, that means something important to you, so American Airlines.
Right, whereas a preposition they might lose.
Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking is, you know, maybe they might have strong feelings. Some student might have strong feelings about one particular airline over another, but I doubt that's going to be a huge issue.
Like,
you know how some people just
have. Yeah.
Some people have just a huge issue with American Airlines. But
then we'll definitely see that they were not using the actual problem. Well, I mean, they were using their opinion.
Yeah, then we'll know. Yeah, and I'm hoping that would be a case where that would be a rare. I just didn't want, again, I'm trying to avoid, you know, sort of fundamental issues in the question wording where all of a sudden we start looking at the data and we realize this pattern that we weren't expecting to be there that we might have been able to avoid if we'd been a little more careful. So when I was going back and rereading them, I was looking at that going, I'm not really sure that is a good sampling plan the way it was specified. You know, we might be able to do that a little bit differently so that we don't have a lot, you know, of kind of fundamental problem in the question wording. I'm sure we'll get some off-the-wall answers no matter what we do, but I didn't want there to be a fundamental problem in the question wording. So what I can do when we get off this call today is I can change the wording, try and make the good sampling plan a little bit more specific with an appropriate conclusion. Increase the sample size. So are we all going to do a big sample size then, or did some people still want to do 50?
I'm good with us all doing a large sample size on this one, unless somebody else has.
I agree.
Are you fine with large?
Okay. What about the effect size for the ones where I say that they found a problem? I think we had talked about this, but I couldn't remember, like, what call that had taken place in. About, you know, is 45 a big enough is 45 a big enough difference for excess weight? Should I make it 50 pounds?
I don't know, but we think about that's 5 pounds per person. So, you know, you have 100 people on the flight. That's
right,
an extra
right.
500 pounds that's on there.
Yeah, you're right. And it's funny, when I was reading that again, I missed that.
So I don't know, maybe then if you want to emphasize, you know, 40 pounds per person. Can't be the right nerd. Passenger, there we go, per passenger.
Okay, I will. Maybe if I just even put that, change the way, put the phrase each person or per passenger next to the 45 pounds, that might help.
And I think that will be less of an issue with the tuition one, just because the tuition one is going to want to have more of that hypothesis testing spin to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think at that point they're going to be less worried about how big the difference really is. Because hopefully, you know, we've taught, since we've not taught hypothesis testing, they're going to focus, I think, more on the p-value and that type of stuff and that type of problem.
Right. Any other issues with the luggage problem? Does everyone think, so I can do some tweaks and email that out, anything else I should consider when I'm tweaking those?
We're good.
Okay.
Do you want them more? In the first paragraph, people are trying to bring more bags, or should we just have larger and heavier bags? Will the more be distracting?
I can get rid of the more. Anything else?
Nope.
So we have about 10 minutes left before 5 o'clock. Does anyone have any other big issues either in terms of research methodology? It's kind of been a little while since we talked about the lit review, so maybe we could touch on that. What do you think is the next big thing to address?
I think if we spend some time rereading the research questions on our own, and kind of making sure, you know, kind of going through with a little bit more of a fine-tooth comb from a student perspective and get that stuff before the next call, that hopefully wouldn't take horribly long at the next one. And so I really think that probably then the focus should be back on the lit review, because at this point I don't know how much, I mean, do we want to wait till we have all the data before we start really looking at it? At what point are we trying to do the interviews? I don't know if we had fully nailed the time. We said some of us might do interviews early, so we might want to start thinking about that too.
Right.
When is the paper due for the conference that you're going to, Harla?
SRTL, I believe that is early May. that the white paper is due. Let me see if I wrote it in my planner. No, I did not. Not yet. I have the letter saved right here on my desktop. Okay, the summary paper is due by May 15th. So I think we'll have the majority of our data by then, certainly enough to do a summary paper. I think the lit review paper could be done independent of the data collection. So we could be working on that as the data is coming in. And maybe if we set, that's been one of the things we've talked about it a little, and then we would kind of set goals, and then it would get pushed to the side because we had some more important things in terms of research methodology coming up, important in the sense that they had to be done on a certain timeline. I wonder if now that we kind of have the experiment going, if we should set ourselves a goal of having a, you know, draft of the lit review more or less ready to submit by the end of the semester.
Okay.
There's at least no uncontrollable laughter when I said that. That's a good sign.
I would definitely like that. So I think it's a good goal.
Well, and the other thing that you guys might want to think about doing, are you all able to come down here for the ESCOT?
Yes.
I'll be here.
You know, I mean, it really can be quite productive if you guys try to plan a day or two either before or after ESCOTS where all you're doing is data analysis and writing.
That's a good idea.
You know, I mean, you kind of have your own little personal retreat. You can get
retreat to this house. Sorry, just joking.
How are we? One thing we never talked about was in terms of, we said we're going to classify students' answers, but how are we going to do that? Are we going to have two people do each student to see if there's agreement? Are we going to come up with a rubric for what we're looking for to classify each student? We never really talked about, other than the broad categories, how we were going to handle that. Maybe we should talk about that at the next conference call.
Well, then on that note, so we need to make photocopy of every student and answer.
Yeah,
the guy gets my test back.
Yeah,
I'm not going to have that.
And something simple, but that might be easy to overlook with that, is you need to make a photocopy with a student's name on it. So if you don't normally have them put their name on every page, you might want to. Or what we do, we have an honor pledge where they have to print and sign their name. And what I'm going to do for our class is I'm going to put the sampling question as the last question on the exam and put the honor pledge underneath that so that I will have them print their name. So I'll be photocopying it with the name on it.
Okay.
Very small suggestion that makes your life very much easier in the long run. In terms of the coding, I think that we should definitely think about a rubric. I think that that rubric will also develop the more we see, so that might be the type of thing we kind of have to sit down with a small stack, read them through, not actually classifying them hard and fast, but kind of getting an idea and then compare notes. And I do think we should have some check of inter-rater reliability, but I think the normal mode for that is a random sample. So not every paper has to be read twice, but you pick a random sample and do check, have two people rate it and kind of check inter-rater reliability that way.
And what you might want to do is start off with a phase one where you do some paired scoring and checking your inter-rater reliability, but then come to agreement on final scores and get to a point where you feel satisfied that everybody on the team can apply the rubrics in the same way.
Like a norming session.
Exactly. And then from there, go and do it in the next phase, and then only do a random sample to double-check yourself.
That seems reasonable.
That's actually, that's a model that we use for assessment. That's exactly what we do. We write the questions, then we write rubrics, then we grade together as a whole team, and then we grade independently, and then we have a third person check them or a second person check them, sometimes third person, so, to break ties. Will we all have data before the next conference call, like an initial set of data?
I have one question.
Yeah, I should have at least the luggage data. And my survey, my opinion data is being entered right now. So I should have the opinion data and the luggage data by our next call.
Shoot. I will probably only have the, I'm putting the first one on my second test, so I might not actually have the luggage question. When's the next call? Do we know yet?
No, we haven't discussed that yet.
So, yeah.
We are coming up on 5 o'clock. Should we start to talk about the next call while everybody's still on the line?
Sure. It seemed like from the email that I sent last time that Tuesdays at this time or Thursdays at 3 were generally better. So I will propose Thursday the 24th.
Thursday the 24th. I can do that.
I'm in May going, there is no Thursday the 24th. What are you talking about? Tell us if that was on the right calendar page. All right, so February 24th?
Yes.
That works for me.
That works for me. That's actually the day I'm giving my first test, so I will only have survey data because I'm testing the 24th and the 25th.
So Thursday the 24th at 3 p.m., does that sound correct?
That works.
Yes.
Given Holly Lynn's suggestion, just does anybody, does everybody know what their schedule is going to be around Duscott at this point, or not yet?
I don't know if I'm even going to be able to stay extra time or get there early, to be perfectly honest, with my husband's schedule and the kids and everything.
Okay.
Not to be the thorn in the side, but.
No, I'm just curious if anybody was going to be able to do it or not.
I was hoping to tack vacation onto the front or the end, so I should be able to come early or stay late.
I think the Escott kickoff is like Thursday evening.
Yeah, it's at like 6 something.
Right.
Hold on. I've got, since I'm married to one of the organizers here, manager's reception starts at 5:30. I don't know what that means, but that's something.
His wife's organizer who manages data.
Let's see. The cluster meetings are at 1 on Thursday. I don't know if
Thursday might not really be a good option. I was wondering if we could do something Thursday, you know, morning, but like morning, afternoon, but it seems like there's already a lot going on.
That might be people flying in day.
Yeah.
Well, that, and there's pre-conference workshops that are running from Tuesday afternoon through Thursday morning. And some of us might be doing one of those conference workshops. So, yeah, things are really quite packed.
Well, one thing we could do if Jackie isn't...
And on Saturday.
Yeah, it ends Saturday at 4. So
okay.
We could meet for a couple hours after that. Or Lee and Tara, if you guys can either come in a day early or stay a day late, then maybe we could conference Jackie in. So it wouldn't be as nice as face-to-face, but that way she's still included on everything. She could kind of even come and go as she needs with, like, family stuff. So that might be a possibility as, you know, concentrated time to get things done when most of us can be face-to-face, and we'll figure out how to still include Jackie in that.
Well, I'm going to be there Tuesday morning because Justin has to be there all week for stuff, and I'm doing the R workshop during the day. So I don't know what time the workshop ends, but anything like Tuesday or Wednesday night or, you know, late afternoon, we could certainly do.
Well, I will obviously be here both before and after the conference.
So
I think it comes down to then Tara and Jackie figuring out what schedule works for them.
It's the 17th, 18th, and 19th, right? Oh, wait, I'm looking at March. Hold on. I'm not saying.
Yeah, it's actually, the conference is the 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Okay.
Yeah, the reception is the night of the 19th, and Friday's the conference, and then the 21st is the conference.
Yeah, ending at 4 is what I have on.
I thought Joan said we were doing something after the conference ended on Saturday, though, didn't she, in the email that we
Yeah, I think she did, actually. Hold on. Let me have that email.
I think it's your graduation.
Oh, that's right. Had it in my inbox. Where did it go? Okay, I've lost it. Never mind. Yeah, we're not leaving until Sunday night, like at 5.
When are you arriving?
I'm arriving Tuesday morning sometime, but the R workshop starts Tuesday afternoon. I don't know what the exact schedule is, but I'm sure it goes to, like, 3 or 4.
And you have anything on Wednesday?
The workshop.
I thought you said it was Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning.
Okay.
It's like a two-day thing, two-and-a-half-day thing.
So could we do afternoon on Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, I don't know what time as soon as the workshop lets out, I'm happy to come find you guys.
If you can have, you know, two members that are working and then one member that comes in and out and bring Jackie in on a conference call, you can just give, if everybody blocks that time out, because, you know, hopefully it's after everybody's semester is over.
Yeah.
I'm just passing on advice. I find those kinds of times to be very productive.
So. I agree. It will be one of the rare times when we will all be together, even for a little while. Although I know Uscots is normally jam-packed with stuff.
I've got to get going. When is our next meeting?
February
24th at 3. Is that what we just settled on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
24th
okay.
at 3. Okay. I will try to make it.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
So for this next call, obviously some of us will be implementing the luggage problem and hopefully getting some initial data back in. What else? It's not a long time from now, so what else do we want to have accomplished by this call?
I think we need to start looking back at kind of what we had for an outline for the lit review, so that hopefully we can discuss that.
Yeah. Especially if we want to try and get it done by the end of the semester.
What if we each came up with kind of a list of what needs to be done to get the lit review out the door, like the real nuts and bolts about decide on search terms, those sorts of things, kind of brainstorm. And I think we've talked about all of this kind of a little bit across the board kind of here and there, so maybe we should go back and look at old calls, look at old notes, and each of us try and come up with a list about what really needs to be done step by step to get the lit review out the door. And then we can kind of merge those. Hopefully between the four of us, we'd come up with a good list. We can kind of merge those and then at the call divide, either divide and conquer or decide how we're going to approach it. Does that seem like a useful exercise?
This is Felicity. I think that's a good idea. I wonder about sort of doing that collaboratively between now and the next call, maybe in a Google Doc. And the reason I think it might be good is, first of all, you wouldn't be duplicating what someone else is doing, but also you could all have a reasonably good idea before the call what the options are, so you could have a sense of what pieces you're willing to take on.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Any objections?
Nope.
Okay, so for the next call, and I just say whoever gets to it first creates the doc and shares it with the group. So we'll work on that doc of what needs to be done for the lit review, start to collect some data, maybe summarize some of our opinion data. I doubt I will summarize much of the written responses, but I can certainly summarize the opinion data by the next call. We have date and time set, so the next thing is roles. I was moderator, so that moves me to recorder. Or synthesizer?
Synthesizer. I'm synthesizer this call, so.
Okay, so I go to synthesizer.
Does that mean I'm organizer?
Were you recorder for this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, then you go to organizer.
I better
you email. It's from the hardest to the easiest job.
Yes, except I always forget the emailer.
Yes. Easiest in theory.
Well, actually, it's easier because then you're like, you email her what time you want the call, then ask for the recording. That's what I did last time. And also, can I get the recording?
That's a good idea.
All right, so Tara's the organizer. I'm the synthesizer. Who's the recorder?
That's me. Lee.
Hey, this is Felicity. I have to take off, too, but this is good. Thanks.
All right, thank you very much, Felicity.
Thank you.
So that means, Jackie, you are the moderator. Is that correct?
Yep.
Awesome. Anything else we need to settle before we get off the call?
I did quickly look at the JSM thing, and you have everything correct for me.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for checking that.
Yep.
So then I will not change that at all, so that is officially submitted, and we will see what happens. Keep our fingers crossed.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go dig my car out before it gets dark, so I'm going to go. That's okay.
Good luck with that. I hope that Tara and Lee, that you don't have too much problems with the snow. Jackie, you're not supposed to get anything, right?
Thank you. Please stand by.